Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to lift up worship and praise to God on this second Sunday of the new year. I am again filling in for Jim as he and Kelly are still on that Caribbean cruise. We'll have to tease him about his suntan, I'm assuming, once they get back, and hope that all is going well for them. We do want to encourage everyone to join us for the potluck lunch that'll be immediately after the 11 o'clock service today. There will be a free will offering to help raise funds for our youth to attend the Winter Jam Christian Music Concert that takes place here in Kansas City in February. And the warmth tree has now been set up in the second foyer beside the elevator. It's an opportunity for us to collect warm clothing items for people in need throughout work of the Clay County Clothes Closet. An article in your bulletin will tell you more details about what is needed. And I think that's all the announcements that we need to lift up. And so we call upon you, Ryan, to lead us in our call to worship. Thank you, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. When anyone is joined to Christ, that person is a new being. All this is done by God, who through Christ changes us from enemies into his friends. Thanks be to God. We'll now sing all stanzas of hymn number 611, Rise Up, O Saints of God.
Rise up, O saints of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O saints of God, the kingdom tarries long. The day of righteousness and end the night of wrong. Rise up, O saints of God, the church for you doth wait, with strength unequal to the task. Rise up and make it great. Lift high the cross of Christ, tread where Christ's feet have trod. Come, sisters, brothers, in the faith, rise up, O saints of God.
May we pray. Holy God, we are privileged to assemble in your house of worship as the new year of 2023 continues to unfold. As there is often anticipation of renewal with the beginning of a new year, may we especially celebrate the renewal of mind, hearts, and spirits made possible as we follow the living example of Christ our Lord, and as we also seek the guidance of your Holy Spirit. For these truths, we give you thanks as we offer praise and worship to you this Lord's Day morning. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. I imagine that means no children's message for this morning. I think all our young people must be still asleep. They probably taken a while to get geared back up, you know, and back into the swing of things for school and everything else. In our prayers this week, we want to lift up George Watkins. He normally attends the 11 o'clock service with Joan Hamilton. But George ended up experiencing a rather significant infection concern that has caused him to be in hospice care now at the North Kansas City Hospital. So please keep George and Joan and family members in your prayers. Susan Hanks also is at North Kansas City Hospital. She's had some numbness in her legs as a consequence of some back concerns and was admitted to the hospital in order to try to find out what is taking place and see if they can get some resolution to these concerns for Susan. Jerry Donahue also ended up at North Kansas City Hospital for a brief period of time at the end of this last week. Some complications with the treatment for dialysis, or dialysis treatment that he goes through on a every other day basis, and we just hope that will get some resolution for him. He is now home. We also lift up Amy Roberts, as she's going to be anticipating surgery on Tuesday of this week. And at Ignite, we lift up Jim Woods as well as Debbie Buzinski. We are grateful that Kelly and Tim Jackson both are now testing negative for the coronavirus. We lift up Art and Janet Kinder, as Art experienced a fall and is making a recovery from that. But yesterday, he was to be honored for 60 years of service with the Masons at the lodge just west of the church here. So that was a good event. I'm hoping it worked out for him to attend that event yesterday, as I saw them on Friday. Susan Cox and Rick Parvin, let's keep them in our prayers. They are going to be in the midst of making a move to Washington State where they can be closer to her family members. And we keep in prayer Jill McCombie and Larry Pitts, Larry Pettis, Rihanna Ralston, Linda Stevens' sister Donna, Perla Morris' sister Naomi, and her daughter Anna Marie and niece Michelle Vales. And so with all of these people upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving as we are privileged to assemble in your house this Lord's Day morning. Every Sunday is indeed a blessed day. For us, every Sunday commemorates the resurrection of our Lord, and his resurrection gives us the assurance that we also in Christ are privileged to one day share in the glory of your eternal realm. For as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for just as all people die because of their union with Adam, in the same way all be raised to life because of their union with Christ. So as we endeavor to go about our assigned responsibilities and duties in our daily living, may all of us, O God, certainly also comprehend and take seriously the greatest of tasks, to be evangelists for Christ. For Jesus said of himself, as he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 15, that everyone who believes in Christ will certainly have eternal life. Thus, as this new year of 2023 is now upon us, may each of us take seriously the goal of encouraging others to experience the living Lord Jesus in whatever ways the Holy Spirit may guide us. For certainly there is no greater adventure than experiencing our living Lord Jesus. In thanksgiving for your great love for us so aptly expressed in Christ, we give you thanks as we also recite the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You perk us up this morning, Ryan. Thank you so much. Thank you. Frances Jane Crosby was born in Putnam County, New York, on the 24th of March in the year 1820. When she was but 6 weeks of age, a poorly trained physician applied a mustard plaster poultice to her eyes, which caused her to become totally blind for the duration of her life. In spite of her blindness, though, she often said that she possessed a jewel, contentment. And even at the age of 9, she wrote a short verse concerning her state of affairs. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Better known as Fanny Crosby, at 15 years of age, she entered the New York Institute for the Blind, and her academic record was so excellent that upon her graduation, she was asked to remain as a teacher, which she did for the balance of her life. And through the duration of her 95 years, she wrote 8,000 gospel songs and hymns, including Blessed Assurance, which is our communion hymn for this morning. As Crosby's hymn tells us, and as her life certainly testified, surely we can all experience blessed assurance, for Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Our communion hymn is number 543 as we sing all three stanzas of Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kimberly leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we gather at your table to remember your Son and the sacrifice he made so that we can be a new creation. This bread and this cup remind us of his life, his death, and his resurrection. As the saints before us, may we go out into the world showing others the love we have through you and your Son, in whose name we offer this prayer. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, that God loves the one who gives gladly. And in the next verse, Paul goes on to say that God is able to give you more than you need so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. With these thoughts in mind, Ruth Ann leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Everlasting Father, thank you for being the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. Your word says the earth is yours and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to you. We recognize everything we have belongs to you. We acknowledge that our very lives belong to you. We now offer back to you a portion of what you have given us. May God the Father prepare our journey, Jesus the Son guide our footsteps, and the Holy Spirit watch over us in every path that we follow. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 21. Paul writes to us and says, when anyone is joined to Christ, that person is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. All of this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. Our message is that God was making all humanity his friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, and he has given us the message which tells us how he makes them his friends. Here we are then, speaking for Christ as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Let God change you from enemies into friends. Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made him share our sin in order that in union with him, we might share the righteousness of God. Surely, the essence of the whole salvation message, is it not? May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and loving God, as the new year is now before us, may this be a time for all of us to assess the trajectory of our life's path and recognize that the best renewal comes through our living relationship with Christ our Lord. For it is in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen. So here we are now, the beginning of this new year, 2023. If you're old-fashioned like me and still writing checks, you've probably been having a little bit of trouble with between that 2 and that 3. If you get your stuff done automated, I guess you don't have to worry so much about that, right? But myself and likely many other folks, we find ourselves thinking about the expression, out with the old and in with the new. And we have packed up all things Advent and Christmas, and we begin to think about the details related to, of all things, paperwork. This is that time of year we got to revamp the files, right? Get all the 22 stuff over in one part, and then we got to be able to start moving all the 23 stuff forward. Means we got to build up that file system for the new year. Anybody else been doing that? Am I the only one? A handful of you. The rest of you, you're just procrastinating, right? Haven't got there yet. Or again, maybe you just do everything online and it just takes care of itself and you don't worry about it. Just worry about the bottom line at the bottom of the checkbook, right? But anyway, out with the old and in with the new. It might even compel some folks to think about getting rid of one thing or another and, of course, buying something new. For some, like Marco Garcia, thinking about purchasing a new car for the new year of 23 seemed like a great idea. The owner of his own construction company, Marco Garcia, has done pretty well for himself, and he's already owned several exotic sports cars, but there was one new 2023 mid-engine model that he had been dreaming about. So he put down the bucks for the order months ago. And by the time his new ride arrived a few days ago, he had certainly put down some big bucks. His new sports car had a sticker price of $113,975. But given the absolute rarity of the car, the document fees, of course, the dealer markup, and of course, maybe some taxes, et cetera, he put down an astounding $182,457.38, far more than the price of many homes that many of us live in. But excited Mr. Garcia was, nonetheless. Having arrived at the dealership with another one of his sports cars, the salesman followed him to the construction yard, and the two of them then proceeded back to the dealership to return the salesman. Having owned several exotic cars, Marco Garcia also knew not to push his new and rather expensive ride. But shortly after returning the salesman and entering the highway, once again, Garcia knew something terrible was happening, despite the fact that the powertrain had been proven on racing circuits for some time now. A decisive lack of power drug down the car, so he pulled it off from the highway onto the side of the road, and a check engine light came on, and then there was some rather aggressive rattling noises accompanied the whole situation, which began with just 52 miles on the odometer. Garcia was forced to walk for help as the emergency online service was useless, as they didn't have the proper warranty information on file for such a new and exotic automobile. And of course, his mobile phone had what? Died because he hadn't been charging it up. And then Garcia, once he finally got his phone charged up enough to actually make some phone calls, had to have his expensive ride towed back to his construction yard for the night. The next day, by golly, he thought, things are gonna start improving now. So he had a tow truck come, and the intention was to take it, of course, back to the dealership. But it was determined that even the tow truck driver didn't have the proper authorization to take the car back to that particular dealership. So there he was, at his construction yard, on the phone, and you know how those phone calls go, don't you? Have you contacted the Social Security office lately? I'm doing the Medicare thing, so here I am on the, you're on hold. You might as well just put the thing on hold and go about your business, but just make sure you can hear it, right? So when they finally pick up an hour and a half later, right? Whatever it be, hours upon hours, finally, he was able to get the car returned to the dealership. But Garcia says that he's had it with the situation and that he's not interested in continuing his ownership experience, right? And once the car is repaired, he's planning to move it on to the next owner, he says, likely with the loss, maybe a few thousand dollars, right? Out with the old, in with the new. Oh, how great it sounds. Oh, how wonderful are the dreams that come to mind of that which we think we would like to be fresh and new. But how so very often is the very new thing that we dreamt about, scrimped for and eagerly anticipated, turned out to be such a disappointment, if not in fact an outright burden for one's existence. It's the new car that gets dented, or in this case, doesn't even run, or the new boat that leaks, the lake house that is seldom used. It's the new wood floor that now has separating joints. Or, it might be the new knee that still aches. And of course, as we realize, as we age, there's a lot of issues in life, a lot of aspects that just simply can't be replaced. It's just kind of impossible to take out the old and come in with the new. In our scripture reading for this morning, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that when anyone is joined to Christ, that person is a new being. And Paul goes on to say, the old is gone, the new has come. Now, we have to understand the perspective of where Paul is coming from. Certainly for him, the old was the old life of the Pharisee that was very much against God and warring against Christians. And yet the new for him was becoming a part of the family of God in Christ Jesus and truly experiencing a new dynamic spiritual realm that was unbelievable. But I also think that there's another perspective about Paul's life we must consider. That he was not a young man, and of course, he was having his own issues, but also, I can't imagine the kind of pain and difficulty that Paul must have experienced because he had been beaten several times, he had been stoned and left for dead. He had been imprisoned, and you can imagine those conditions often were so very difficult, and malnourishment and the like was probably something of a big concern. So I believe as he aged, surely he was also dealing with an innumerable level of pain and hardship and physical difficulty. And yet, in spite of that, here we see the Apostle Paul focused on the spiritual realm in his life, right? And he's saying that when a person is joined in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. And surely what is so significant about that is that the values of one's life change from the old, which is focused on things of the earthly realm, to the new, in which one's life is focused on the spiritual realm. And isn't that what ultimately counts the most? For in truth, all of us are on a march. and it's unavoidable. And that March takes us on this pathway to the day when this earthly existence will no longer be where we're at, right? That's the march for all of us. Some of us get there quick. Some of us, it's kind of a up and down circumstance. Sometimes some of us feel like we're stumbling, and then we get ourselves picked back up, and then we march on a little further. But the pathway is the same for one and all. So when we think about out with the old, the things of the world, let us also draw our attention to being in with the newness of a living relationship with God in Jesus Christ. For we must recognize that we may be citizens of the United States in this earthly realm, but we are indeed also citizens of heaven in the spiritual realm. As the text of Philippians chapter 3 tells us with the verse 20 and 21, we are citizens of heaven. And so we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come from heaven. Christ will change our weak mortal bodies and make them like his own glorious body, using that power by which he is able to bring all things under his rule. And as we rest in the assurance that God's heavenly realm is our ultimate destiny, this new year is an occasion for us to also do what we can to welcome others to experience the spiritual realm of the kingdom of God. This past year of 2022, as I was kind of tallying up all of the paperwork issues, as we have to, you know, submit a report every year to the denomination, we were blessed to welcome 27 new members into our congregation, but we were also privileged to celebrate 15 baptisms. Helping others find a meaningful and living relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what really brings us great joy. It's an aspiration that is far more significant than anything of this earthly realm. For the things of the earth, they rot, they rust, they decay, and sometimes, no matter how much money we spend on them, they don't even run. And what's a $180,000 car worth if it won't even go down a road? You know, it makes a nice garage ornament, I guess, right? Something to wax, I guess, you see. So maybe this new year is really a time for us to be out with the old, which is an emphasis on all things worldly, and in with the new, which becomes an emphasis upon a living relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our hymn of invitation this morning, it's interesting to note that it was first used at summer youth camps and conferences to inspire young people to make a turn in their life, to accept the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior through a confession of faith. As the refrain encourages us, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou on Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. So we sing the very familiar hymn for our hymn of invitation, number 610. We'll sing all stanzas of Living for Jesus. May we stand.
Living for Jesus, a life that Him in all that I do. Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call. Follow his leading and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement did give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Just again a reminder, the fellowship lunch immediately after the 11 o'clock service today, if you'd like to join us. It will be a wonderful time for us to all get together and just to be able to visit for a period of time without all the hustle bustle of all the activities, you know, of the Christmas season. So looking forward to that. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit abides with us, grants us a great measure of your assurance and peace. For indeed, as the new year begins, we are privileged to journey in the faith and to be drawn ever closer to you through the example of your Son and the guidance of your Spirit. For the journey, we give thanks in Christ's name as we depart. We seek your guidance. Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my heart.